Thank you so much. I'm deeply honored and humbled to serve our country as your national security advisor. I'm proud to have worked so closely with you for more than 6 years, and I'm deeply grateful for your enduring confidence in me.
All right, the fix is in. That was the voice of Susan Rice. Meet your new national security advisor. How you feel about that, guys? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Think of the people who have been there in the past, like the greats, like Henry Kissinger. There's a guy who knew how to negotiate, rather, with foreign heads and was definitely very keen on dealing with the media and knew what to say and how to have some accountability for the words that left his lips. Not so certain about Ms. Rice, who has no credibility with the press right now and was right in the thick of it with the whole Benghazi chaos. In fact, so much so that she should have been, in the eyes of this president, the CIA director, but knowing there is no way that would be approved, she sat in the cheap seats for a while longer until he could find a way to reward her loyalty, and now she is the national security advisor. I say foul, and she may go down as one of the worst. I just don't think she has the cred for the job. She's incompetent, approve that, and has no skins on the wall. You might look at this differently. I invite everybody to chip away at this one and some other things we're going to talk about. Remember, I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, or you're sick of it all. Give us a call at 855-266-5283 as we wind our way through the conversation this hour. Speaking of the conversation this hour, we're going to take you to Washington and talk about solar panels and what myths have been created as to how this is saving money and creating great energy out there, not just in the United States, but in Europe, in China, and other parts of the world. That's going to be a good conversation. That's coming up at the end of the hour. But before we get there, let's move to a couple of different things. The deal with Susan Rice is obviously big. You can weigh in through the miracle of the call or send us your thoughts at AmericaTonight.net. Here's the other thing that I would say is pretty big on the day, without a doubt, because it's been talked about now a lot. They're talking about the media shield law and taking votes, writing the whole thing up, all that kind of stuff. And this comes right after the Associated Press nonsense and the investigation into what the Department of Justice did with the subpoenas and digging into the phone records. And part of the reason why is because journalists are finding that sources are drying up, especially in D.C. Now, if you know anything about D.C., you know that's how stories are broken and how you and I often find things out. I have some good sources at the Pentagon and on the Hill. But trust me, you have to earn their trust. With no trust, and it's not a two-way street, then guess what happens? Even if they think you're fabulous and they want the information to get out because they think there's a reason for it, they're not going to tell you anymore. So the media shield law and not having to reveal sources is really, really big. Think of the contempt of court. Think of people like Judith Miller, even with the whole thing with Valerie Plame that happened there. Remember, she wouldn't give up the source. So, but I'm even talking beyond that. As this is being discussed and getting close to the whole, let's write this baby up, the one aspect of it that's very unclear is what do you do with bloggers? Because the media has changed so much. A lot of times your journalists are blogging, of course, but they're blogging about the stories they wrote in the paper of record or on TV or some other form of that. They are, quote, journalists. With bloggers, it's a little bit murky. If you dig a little deeper on this, in my home state of New Jersey, 2 years ago, the state Supreme Court determined that bloggers who don't have some connection to the news media aren't covered by that state shield law. In Oregon, 2 years ago, it was a similar thing. A judge ruled the same way in a case involving a blogger from Montana. However, in Illinois, a judge said just last year that certain bloggers could be covered under that state shield law, and the reason why is because some of them were legitimately tied to the media, and that's the difference. But the media landscape certainly has changed significantly since the shield laws were first enacted in the 70s. There are plenty of people in the new media who have roles that are just like traditional journalists. In fact, you could argue that bloggers discovered the memos that CBS News relied on to support the story about George W. Bush, who supposedly, remember when they reported this, and boy, didn't this get Dan Rather into trouble, of ducking out early on his National Guard commitments and that they were forgeries. There were other things, too, that had an impact from the blogosphere that ended up on mainstream media's desk. You know, it is kind of lopsided at this point. Here's what I would say. For people who clearly have a distinctive role in so-called media, then the shield law blogging-wise would apply. For every Tom, Dick, and Harry blogger, or young, ambitious blogger, like my 11-year-old nephew, I would say the shield law does not apply. But, of course, freedom of speech does. So we got you covered there. We got your back, unless something incredibly outrageous. The AP and Fox are suddenly dining at the same table. Who would think that Fox News would be sitting there hanging out with the AP? But, of course, they both would like to see bipartisan support for a shield law for that bill. So drafting is going on now. But Congress has to be careful that they don't ignore this new world in which journalism has changed. It has changed big time since the Supreme Court sent the issue to the Hill. And bloggers aren't always journalists, but occasionally they are. And occasionally the traditional mainstream media relies on those bloggers. So it's a upside down world, but we definitely need, and we definitely need bipartisan support and the shield law, because we don't want to become a nation where we have state-run media and we are only fed stories and have to beg for stories, and then your sources dry up, you don't get the fresh meat, and none of us are more well-informed about what the true story is. Because there's the narrative that's planted, and then there's the real story. We want the real story. Speaking of the real story, I got to say, coming up here in just a minute, I'm going to tell you about young Sarah Murnahan, who gets a shot at life thanks to a fast-thinking federal judge. I'll explain her plight and why it's important. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer for Midas Resources, June 5th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1,402.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,438.91, $719.46 for a half ounce, or $359.73 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,438.91, $719.46, and $359.73.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Coming up, I'm going to slide in this story about Alex Rodriguez. In case you didn't hear, he's among at least 20 players Major League Baseball is targeting for steroids. This is like seems like an old story, doesn't it? But it is a fresh story, and the connection is very Miami-like. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. Let's keep it great. Don't be afraid. If there's something you hear, something you don't like, to contact your congressperson or senator. If you don't know, shoot me an email, americatonight.net. I understand when people bury their heads in the sand because you're sick of the same old, same old. This is a good story. This is a feel-good story because it wasn't looking good. A federal court judge granted a temporary order that's going to allow 10-year-old Sarah Murnahan, who's dying from cystic fibrosis and desperately, desperately needs the gift of breath, needs to be able to breathe, so she needs new lungs, to join an adult organ transplant list. The judge scheduled a preliminary injunction hearing for June 14th. The judge's name is Michael Bailson. He made his ruling after hearing oral arguments on Wednesday afternoon on this federal lawsuit filed by Sarah's parents, Bravo, challenging the under 12 rule that was keeping the 10-year-old off the adult transplant list. People started to hear about the story, were really upset by it. They went to the Department of Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius. She said she couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't do anything as far as moving her around on the list. But now it's a different story with the judge intervening. So a temporary restraining order, all that kind of stuff. You know, if there's another child in the same situation, they would consider that and blah, blah, blah. That's what they're saying at this point. So the bottom news or the bottom line is, or the good news is that Sarah has a shot at surviving if she can get those lungs. So bravo. This was a And honestly, some of you might have been in on it because this is what it means to be vigilant, to just have a feeling upset about something, think something's getting a raw deal, and take that 5 minutes to make a difference by making a call, sending an email. It doesn't take a lot of time, folks, but people, you know, we're jammed. People are jammed on other things. And as I said, often you're not aware. People were made aware of Sarah's plight, and that and the lawsuit, the quick lawsuit being filed, was a stroke of brilliance. And the parents knew it. I mean, the parents knew that's what they had to do, so they did. We'll see where all of this ends up. Hopefully, it ends up saving her life. We want to see young Sarah get those lungs, because why not? She gets a pair of lungs, gets a successful surgery, and this would be a good thing. Somebody suffering from cystic fibrosis, I have met some. I've done charity work for a few organizations, and a lot of times the kids, just wonderful kids, I mean, really. And I would love to see this happen for this family. What a terrific thing that would be. Let's go to Bill, who's listening to us in Jackson, Mississippi on 1240. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hi, Kate.
Hello.
I would like to just point out something on the cystic fibrosis case that everyone is discussing. If you go back to the 1980s, now all this is documented. This is not just my, you know, rant, whatever. But it's been proven that Dr. Joel Wallach came up with the cause, prevention, and cure for cystic fibrosis out of his research with the Primate Center in Atlanta. And this was a federal grant. It was a $25 million grant, and back several decades ago, that was a considerable amount of money. At any rate, everyone was excited at Emory University because he had been able to reproduce and actually cause cystic fibrosis in pregnant monkeys, in the children, the actual, you know, birth of the monkey, and then he was able to turn that around at will. He could cause the cystic fibrosis and cure it with supplementation. However, the system didn't like that. And as soon as he published the results, they actually fired him from the project at the tail end of it and denied that he ever even came up with anything because he did not produce a drug. That's on record. We know about that. More recently, the Jerry Lewis thing with muscular dystrophy was the same kind of a situation where he had, in western Pennsylvania, with the Amish community, where they were raising their own crops and everything, they were found to be deficient in selenium, and they had a high rate of muscular dystrophy. And he started working with them. He got the supplementation of the selenium in the soil, as well as giving the population in that little community the supplementation of selenium and the 90 essential nutrients. He turned the problem around, and they did not have any more muscular dystrophy where they had a tremendously high rate. At any rate, they developed the total story. They got it to Jerry Lewis. He was very excited, and all this is documented. Jerry Lewis got the information to the powers that be in the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation, and they fired Jerry Lewis, claiming that Dr. Wallach was a kook. And I've been personally involved with this for 13 years on my station here in Jackson. Mm. And I just want to pass this on about cystic fibrosis thing, you know.
Yeah.
And if you look back at it, and it's big pharma, it's big medicine that's actually causing these cases to continue to appear. Mm.
You know what, Bill, I agree with you about big pharma. There's no question about that. I've had Dr. Wallach on the show several times, and we talked about it. We talked about the wall and how come some of the nutrients, some of all that kind of stuff isn't being pushed, because he has seen it himself with the success he's had and pointed to other people as well. And Bill is right. You know, it's not hocus pocus. You can look anything up about Wallach, Dr. Wallach, you know, he's with the Dead Doctors Don't Lie. That's his claim to fame, actually. Had a huge audio tape that seemed to circle the globe and talked about what we talk about with Ben Fuchs when he comes on the show, the whole idea of the mineral deficiencies and what's happen to people and how Big Pharma has a stranglehold on what's happening in the United States. They're pumping out pills to people, and it's not healthy. Yeah, I agree with that. And the more that you uncover, the more that Wallach or anyone else does anything like that, and you think of who has the money, you know how we always say, follow the money? Well, you follow the money, and when they stand to lose billions of dollars, you start to see anything that comes out that needs to be squashed because they don't want too many in the mainstream to get a hold of it. Guess what? That's what happens. They squash the information. Hey, quickly, because Bill brought this up, speaking of information, you know, we've had this whole crazy thing of the flow of information and going through phone records. Verizon's forced to turn over a lot of caller info. What they're saying is a court order has required that, we know that this has happened before, but they're required Verizon to deliver phone records of millions of Americans to the NSA. This report just came out. The Guardian is always on top of this kind of stuff. They love it. So, you know, what then happened on the heels of that report from the Guardian, they did a 4-page deal on it, and they talked about how much they had to turn over and, you know, ultimately what happened and what the ongoing basis of this is and how here we are in, you know, in the digital era. Don't we have to have some privacy here? Of course we had to have some privacy. It's obscene what's going on now. But this is the difference between how do you keep using the Patriot Act and what is it specifically targeted for? This is the problem in following this one. So this whole news about Verizon comes right as the administration is getting hammered following all the information that the Justice Department sees 2 months of phone records from hundreds of reporters and editors at the Associated Press, saying that the requests were part of an investigation into a leak of classified info. Yeah, timing is interesting, isn't it? Very, very, very interesting. All right, we're talking about the myth of solar energy, especially when we're talking about solar panels. That's next. Climb the wall with me. You'll be interested in this story.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
The Social Prepper Trade Show.
Presented in part by GCN.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Her name is Yashina. She's a black
dog. We've talked about green energy before, and we've talked about solar panels. How about defective solar panels that are creating quite an expensive mess? Don't trust me on this. Trust the people who really dug up the information on it. Went even deeper. We've done a lot on solar panels and Solyndra, and of course that mess, what happened there, and how the Chinese were undercutting and selling cheaper panels, and you could have found that information out simply by Googling. But this is a whole different thing. Daniel Simmons joins us, and he's the director of State and Regulatory Affairs for the Institute for Energy Research, and they did some analysis on this. Daniel, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thanks for having me.
So tell me about these defective solar panels and what that means, and how much of a debacle this has become.
Well, it's a, first of all, start kind of in reverse order. This is a debacle because we have the federal government and a lot of state governments providing massive subsidies to use solar panels, and that once you start looking, is that you find more and more of solar panels, because they're new technology, they're failing at higher and higher rates, unfortunately. The Germans, who are world class when it comes to subsidizing, you know, solar and wind, a firm in Germany went out and looked, and they found that 80% of the 30,000 solar installations around the country were underperforming. As in other words, they're not getting as much power as they claim they would get out of these out of the solar cells that they're installing everywhere.
Wow, really? So how about that? Interesting. So you go from that and the installation and not getting what they think they're going to get, to a lot of the stuff that we hear, a lot of the rhetoric about how much you can get back and how much you can ultimately heat your home and whatnot. So from the get-go, part of the problem is when we say defective, people not just in Germany but other places are finding the same thing, correct?
Oh, that is 100% correct. There was there was one case where here in the U.S. where the panels caught on fire. That's a huge issue. We have Many of these panels that are the rate of defects have increased from, you know, over the last year and a half have gone from about 5% of all of the panels to 22% have higher defects. And this really is important because when it comes to trying to make solar energy work, and I mean there's nothing wrong with trying to make solar energy work. You have to look at it as an investment over time. And when you have these defects that keep cropping up, when you have other failures, what that means is that the financing is frequently not going to work out. And, you know, instead of trying to get into this game and instead of trying to have the federal government predict the future and provide subsidies to what they think the future is going to look at, just let the market work. Just let people figure things out. With any technology, you're going to have problems. But the point is to let people figure it out as opposed to saying, hey, I know what the future is, and, you know, we're going to go down a certain path. That is a path that just leads to incredible amounts of wasted money, and that's exactly what we're seeing in solar today.
Yeah. We're speaking with Daniel Simmons, Director of State and Regulatory Affairs for the Institute for Energy Research. And, you know, all the analysis that you've put together, and you're always crunching this kind of stuff overall, and the things that we have just talked about, is that also just in general, solar power plants are costly, but also now we're seeing how defective this has been. And the problem, of course, is how much of this is being subsidized and how much is this costing, you know, you and me? And ultimately, that's what you're looking at, right?
That's exactly correct. I mean, the cost of solar power is about twice as much. Well, no, it's actually more than twice as much as getting electricity from natural gas power plants. Twice as much, and it's not just that. Like, because with a natural gas power plant, for example, it has a switch. You can turn it on. You can turn it off. It's reliable. And you know, solar power may be reliable, but it's as reliable as the sun and reliable as, you know, as the clouds, as the weather. And hey, it's nice to have electricity. It's nice to produce electricity when the sun's up. But the problem is we don't want just electricity. Then we want electricity, you know, in the middle of the night as well. And solar power isn't good for that. So you have electricity that is more than twice as costly as, you know, a natural gas or a coal-fired power plant. But you only have it when the weather's right. And that is the problem. And so, you know, the federal government says, hey, and a lot of state governments too say, hey, this is the future. We need to subsidize this. But, you know, not only do you have the problems of cost, but you have problems of things breaking down. And the economics just don't work out. And as a result, the reason that we're seeing, the reason there's been a lot of new solar installations around the country is because of subsidies and mandates. Certain states actually mandate that a certain percentage of electricity comes from solar, and that is just incredibly, incredibly inefficient.
Boy, no kidding. So, and we're seeing this, and you reviewed this, and looking at this in Europe, just, and you started off mentioning Germany, and it just crisscross, you know, around the globe, and it seems as though a lot of people are having troubles with this. There's nobody that's saying, you know, amen, this is a great product. We have these unbelievable results. We have reduced what we've seen happening as far as our bills, if you want to call it that, because this is cheaper, this is better. But nobody can really claim that from everything that you've researched, whether it's a plant in Spain or whether we're talking about Chinese factories. We really haven't found that, have we?
No, and one of the, you know, the reality is that reality is starting to hit home in Europe. I mean, as you mentioned, that a few years ago, President Obama said that we should look to Europe for our energy future, and we did that. And what we found is that the cost of energy and the cost of these subsidies are greatly increasing. Cost of subsidies for wind, subsidies for solar. Germany has the most solar installations of any country in the world. And, you know, you don't usually think of Germany as some kind of sunny paradise. It isn't. It has the same solar potential as upstate New York, which is honestly pretty bad. But they said that the future is solar, and they spend a lot of money, and now they're going the opposite direction. Almost all of these countries in Europe, I mean, Spain, Germany, Denmark, the, you know, countries like Slovakia even are trying to pull back their subsidies because they overspent and they have to rationalize their policies. They spent way too much and now they have very high electricity costs. Electricity prices in Germany are more than twice what they are in the United States. In fact, they're more than twice as expensive as they are in the United States. And that is because their policies are to do things such as subsidizing solar, subsidizing wind. Electricity prices are a result of choices. And unfortunately, the choices they made there lead to higher electricity prices. The choices that are happening in a lot of U.S. states are leading to the same thing. And that's why in many states where you have these types of renewable mandates, you're going to see higher and higher electricity rates.
Yeah, so despite what sometimes we hear, like in a State of the Union address or whatever, it seems as though coal is going to make a really big comeback and, in fact, is really starting to kick it, and for good reasons. And how does the Institute feel about coal making a comeback?
Well, you know, the United States has the world's largest coal reserves. We have literally enough coal for hundreds, if not, you know, more than 1,000 years of coal at our current rate of use. It is low cost, reliable source of energy. And, you know, we're going to be seeing more of it because natural gas prices, which were incredibly low, were probably unsustainably low for the past few years. We have huge amounts of coal. So, you know, we're going to be using more coal to generate electricity. It is reliable. It is affordable. And with modern technologies, it is clean. And, you know, why not use this resource that we have in incredible abundance?
Yeah, I agree. We won't even get into wind, Daniel, but we know that we're having the same discussions here with wind, and it's similar to, well, you know, if we lived in Holland and the wind was blowing consistently, or Chicago was really the windy city 24 hours a day, that might make a little bit of difference, but you have the same problem in relying. That's what makes part of it even unsustainable is the conditions themselves. And I guess that's what we really started with. You know, you'd have to have sun beaming down consistently, and you just don't get that. I mean, ultimately, isn't this the other part of the equation that, for some reason, that always gets left out?
No, you are exactly correct. I mean, wind is fine. Wind is great. Solar's great. But you know what? They are great for a certain role, and that role is not to provide consistent electricity all of the time. I mean, solar is wonderful if you're, you know, far from the electrical grid and you're not using all that much electricity. Solar is wonderful then because it's the only way that you're going to have power. But the reality is that, you know, we use some electricity, 24/7, and we need an electrical grid that is an on-demand electrical grid, and that's what we have. And the problem is that the more that we try to integrate these sources into the electrical grid, such as wind or solar, sources that we don't have control over, it just makes the electrical grid more inefficient, more expensive, and as a result, you're going to see higher and higher prices, because instead of being able to use the low-cost sources of power, such as coal, you have to use more expensive types of power plants, and that just leads to higher costs.
Yeah. Daniel Simmons, great conversation. We'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now the walls are crawling faces that still breathe. But before she nods her head, what's left of sleep?
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com. Terraganics.com. or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes?
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at GCNlive.com. Again, that's advertise at GCNlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
GCN listeners have their minds wide open, and open minds are inventive minds. America urgently needs new products and services to grow companies and to create new jobs. I'm Russ Weinzimmer of Russ Weinzimmer & Associates PC, a national law firm helping individuals and small companies across the U.S. As a GCN listener myself, I know this country is in deep trouble, and it's time to take action. Even if you've never worked with a patent attorney before, we will work with you to get strong, strategic protection for your invention. Just contact us for a free consultation to see if you can become a client. We are registered patent attorneys, so all consultations are completely confidential. Just go to strategicpatentlaw.com or call 800-621-3654 for your free consultation. That's 800-621-3654, or go to strategicpatentlaw.com. From your mind to the marketplace.
Means time for one of my favorite segments. It's called We Can Count. One of the 20 Major League Baseball players that might be suspended in the next couple of weeks for their alleged use of performance-enhancing drugs. Now, this all ran through a Miami anti-aging clinic. Tony Bosch, who is the founder of what's now closed, Blagenesis of America, that's the clinic's name, he cooperated, reached an agreement with Major League Baseball's investigation arm to cooperate. So he's got this testimony, which has prompted the league to move towards suspending players, including A-Rod and several others. Ryan Braun, another star, is in that same position at this point. And this isn't news in one way to us. A 100-game suspension would cost Alex Rodriguez $15.3 million of his $28 million salary. So we'll see. They're starting to meet this week, and they should have an announcement of the suspensions in the next couple of weeks. Because A-Rod's name keeps circling around, remember Rodriguez admitted in 2009 to using steroids from 2001 to 2003 when he was with the Rangers. Hasn't really commented on this, but he's in the thick of it. And what the Yankees are saying is they just don't need anybody to distract them, so they're focusing on baseball, and they'll deal with whatever happens. Rodriguez, of course, is rehabbing following a left hip surgery in January, and that's it. That's all they're talking about now at this point. But the far-reaching effects of this will be interesting, and see, that's all it takes. Obviously, they had the goods on Tony Bosch, so he decided that he was going to flip. He wasn't going to take any chances because he wasn't going to do any jail time is what I think the deal is. So he probably has some pretty interesting records and things that he'll throw out there. Man, oh, man. All right, the IRS. Is anybody going to answer for what happened at these crazy conferences and all that stuff? Well, of course, now somebody has to answer. The IRS has actually placed two people on administrative leave in connection with what happened in Anaheim, California back in 2010, which cost us ridiculous amounts of money for artists who were teaching leadership for $17,000. So the party inside the private suite at a hotel was one of the major things. Food was free of charge. They say that's a violation. There were some other things that happened. So clearly there was two sort of middlemen they were able to nail on this. You know, it's interesting. They're talking about the amount of money they spent on this one conference, and it was $4.1 million. Man, $3.2 came from an unused funds allocated for hiring. Oh, yeah, that chunk of money, let's use that to go and party. 2,600 people went to three different hotels in Anaheim, and it was held by the Small Business Self-Employed Division of the IRS. They're the ones who actually put this on. You know, the IRS, like any arm of the government, they have a lot of different divisions, and they certainly have had many, many conferences over the years. This is just one glaring example of it, but what an example of abuse. I mean, really, come on. One of the worst. And the fact that, I think the fact that it was so thrown in everybody's face about the renting the suite and paying the outrageous amount of money that got stuck in the crawl of just, you know, way too many people. Sadly, in my hometown, they're talking about six people who have died in this Philadelphia building collapse. It looked like a bomb went off. It was in Center City, downtown Center City. They're trying to figure out, you said the building was kind of shaky to begin with, which makes me wonder why didn't they cordon this off or put police tape or not have people in and around it. So once the building just collapsed on top of everybody, then they were trying to find people underneath the rubble. It looked very much like a situation, like a hurricane situation or a tornado situation that we recently have seen with horrific weather. And it was sad because you had people who were just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and therefore were covered once the building went under, and a few were pulled out. There were lots of people with injuries, but there were some they just could not get to. And so the official total after cadaver dogs and whatnot went through is six. And I passed by this building many, many times. It's on 22nd and Market Street in Philly, a heavily traveled area. So just one of those freak accidents, a vacant building being demolished, collapsing onto the thrift store. And because it was one of those thrift stores that a lot of people went in at lunchtime or in the day and whatever. So it's great that they were able to pull some people out, and it's unfortunate that six people were killed. There were 13 others that had to be treated at hospitals, nearby hospitals, two different ones. So the building was ultimately being demolished, like I said, when it collapsed. So it was, again, one of those freak things. This is kind of a freak thing, but kind of a lucky thing, eh? An 84-year-old woman claims the massive Powerball jackpot, $370 million. 84-year-old Gloria McKenzie finally came forward after more than 2 weeks. She had the ticket for that drawing back on May 18th. So she gets over $370.9 million is what she gets after the whole, you know, one lump sum. So that's what she pockets. That's crazy. She got her ticket in the supermarket just north of Tampa, and she was in line. Another lottery player let her jump ahead to get the winning pick, quick pick ticket. Oh, that's brutal. And I wonder if that person realizes that they were the person that let her in. Hey, come on, go ahead. You can get in front of me and buy a ticket. And if they were getting a quick pick, they would have had the ticket. Oh, I hate to hear stories like that in one sense. So they sold about, they say, you know, $590 million was the drawing. A lot of people jumped in. I'm sure some of you listening grabbed a ticket just to do it. They sold about $45,000 worth of tickets in an hour at the peak. Isn't that crazy? And this was an amazingly huge jackpot, as I said. So she had to get some financial advisors and all these other people in a row before she went to claim the ticket, which is why it took so long, because she didn't want to get caught in a situation where she didn't know what she was going to do. And that's smart, because once the word gets out, then it's pretty tough to put that genie back in a bottle. And, you know, all of a sudden everybody becomes your new best friend. They're looking for you all over the place, and it can turn into a nightmarish situation. And here she is, an older woman. I mean, think about that, 84 years old. She happens to get that ticket. I'd imagine if there's any grandkids or relatives involved, they will get a piece of that. She probably has that all locked up so that there's not any problems within the family. If she's smart, the financial people probably did that for her. It's crazy when you think of days gone by, and I just was just reading this story. Do you know that Ronald Reagan has been dead for 9 years? As we turned the page on June 5th, what a wild thing, because what happens every year is Nancy Reagan goes out and places roses at the gravesite of her husband on the 9th anniversary. She did it too. They were picked from the garden of a friend. They were specifically chosen to honor the relationship between President Reagan and the Pope, because she placed Pope John Paul II roses, is what they're called, at the gravesite. How about that? 9 years. Man, time flies, doesn't it?
Will your generator, power equipment, or vehicle be ready? Gas and diesel fuels go bad quickly when stored, and more than half of generator failures during disasters occur as a result of expired fuel. PRI fuel stabilizers keep your fuel fresh for when you need it most. Nuclear power stations, emergency service providers, and ships at sea rely on PRI fuel stabilizers. And you can too. Call 888-776-9373 or visit PRIproducts.com to find the dealer nearest you.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.